Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Tuesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center. We're in the Southern Bank Core Studio, here in beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of our program and Southern Miss Athletics. Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Core joins us as he does every Tuesday. He's here in the studio with us. We're going to be talking later in the show to an associate professor at Boise State University, who has written some interesting stuff about all the court cases involving the NCAA right now and the very negative effect it could have on schools like Southern Miss. And real quickly, Kelly, you were on the phone with him in my office, and he doesn't paint a good picture about this scenario, does he?
The rich are going to get richer. If what has come out now is approved, it's just another case where the rich are going to get richer and would make a good argument for why don't they just go do their own thing and we'll do ours.
Right. All right, J.B. Middleton, 2 weeks in a row, the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week. Daniel Stewart joins us, knows a little bit about pitching himself. He did it at Southern Miss. And, well, Daniel, first of all, thanks for coming in. I guess it's any surprise after he throws a complete game, but, man, he has come on, hasn't he?
Yeah, we said he was most improved from last year, but good gosh, he keeps getting better and better, stronger and stronger as the season goes on. So I'm definitely glad he's with us and not somebody else, because, you know, you can almost guarantee a victory on Friday nights. As long as he stays healthy and stays at the same level he's at, we're going to be good on Friday night.
We'll enjoy him, fans, because he's not going to be around after this year.
He's probably out of here, and rightfully so. He's done well and earned that opportunity.
All right. This is not a Mississippi State show, and we're not going to spend much time on this, but obviously big news yesterday. Mississippi State fires their baseball coach. And, you know, Daniel, it's still amazing to me that, you know, you can have a guy in a sport that, 3 years ago wins the national championship,
sure.
and now he's out on his butt.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough place to be a coach. You know, the expectations are extremely high at Mississippi State. Now, yes, he did win a national championship. There's an argument that can be made that were those his players, were those Canizero's players or anybody else's players. But in any college, high-level athletic program, they're looking for consistency. And as long as you're consistent, maybe you don't win the national championship every year, but as long as you're in the talk for it, you're going to keep your job. As soon as that starts coming into question, you're on the hot seat.
That is the argument that State fans have made, that he won the national championship. They weren't his recruits.
Right.
Well, now he's been in the program long enough, they're all his recruits, and they're not getting better.
No.
In fact, they're getting worse.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a really tough current that you're swimming against up there.
Mississippi State's in a spot. You've got arguably the best facilities in the country. You've got a huge fan base. I think they're only second behind LSU in average attendance per game. They could go out and really get somebody that's, you know, really premier coach, because it's that kind of place that, we're Golden Eagle fans, so this is the greatest place to play. But they could probably go get an Oregon State coach, Oregon's coach, maybe even pick off somebody else in the SEC to come.
Here's what we're hearing. Their athletic director's got Oklahoma ties.
Yes,
Oklahoma has a good baseball program, very good young baseball coach,
mm-hmm.
and And we know nothing, but it does appear that that would be a realistic possibility.
It does. I mean, yeah, I think he's an Oklahoma guy. I actually read the article yesterday about the prospective coaches, and I was just happy to see Coach Ostrander not on that list. I know our guy is safe.
And I have seen him on some quote-unquote list.
Yeah.
You were in the game, I mean, other than money, and obviously. And I've had conversations with him in the past that he's indicated to me that had he really wanted a lot of money, he'd have taken some jobs he was offered in the past.
Sure.
But he didn't really want that. That really wasn't his total priority. But
right.
Coach Ostrander has got a great program here, and boy, I can't picture that he would leave for that.
Well, you know, you look at – we talked about consistency. The program that USM has now is one I think that, regardless of money, is an attractive place to be for any coach. Consistent, winning, great fans, great facilities. I think he's kind of cut from the same cloth as Coach Berry was in kind of recognizing what a special place USM mm-hmm. and Hattiesburg is. So I don't see him going anywhere.
Your thoughts, Kelly?
I don't see him going anywhere either. But look, money talks, and
yes, it does.
And people
says
can say,
the banker.
Yeah, people say, "Well, I'm happy where I am." And look, Coach Ostrander, I'm sure lives very well in Hattiesburg on the salary that he's got. But you got a lot of other people that go into that decision,
right?
And not just necessarily Southern Miss, but if any school were to come along, he'd be foolish to not look at it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, he looked at a couple in the past that I'm aware of. Big time
sure.
coaching opportunities, and he turned them both down.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be as big time as this, though. I mean, in that conference.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, from what I read and from what I was told, one was equally as financially lucrative as what Mississippi State has.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, it's like you said, Kelly. I think if we want the type of coach at Southern Miss that's going to be looked at by other teams.
Yes,
of course.
You know, that means that we've got a successful program and a successful coach. you know, you couldn't blame him for looking, but at the same time, I think he loves right. Southern Miss. I think he's going to stay.
Well, everybody looks at opportunities, mm-hmm. but let's not add to the already rampant,
very true,
rumor mill that I saw last night glancing with the internet.
No, what you do is you go sign him for a little bit more money and yeah. lock him down even further, right? You use it as a negotiation tool.
Absolutely. He wouldn't turn that down.
No, I'm sure he wouldn't. No. And he deserves it. You know, he deserves
it. He certainly does. Well, the Golden Eagles, Christian Ostrander's baseball team, back in action tonight. UNO will be the last midweek game of the season. Let's see. I'm trying to go down Jack Duggan here. 23-18 is the UNO record. And from what we hear, Daniel, they're not going to be a pushover.
No, they're not. The only no-hitter I was ever a part of against us was in 2001. It's been a little bit, but it was UNO at UNO. Their guy no-hit us that night. I'll never forget that. But I always put UNO in the same category as of Southeastern Louisiana and Nicholls State. You know, they're going to be made up of a similar type of player. They're going to play very similar games. They're always going to be competitive. They're going to be gritty. And records aside, they're going to give us a challenge tonight for sure.
And can't understand a word they say.
No.
No.
Not one. Not one. No.
All right, well, the record between the schools, Southern Miss 63 wins, UNO 52, so yeah. they've sort of held their mm-hmm. mark. Golden Eagles have won 7 of the last 10. And the truth is, if they pitch like they did this weekend and hit the way they did this weekend in conference play, they'll beat UNO.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was really mm-hmm. pleased at what I saw this past weekend. It seemed like we've hit a lot of home runs. We've almost lived and died by the home run to a certain degree, the big innings. There was some of that, but there wasn't these just huge displays of power. I mean, we seemed to hit the ball all over the field, and I was really happy to see that.
Yeah. I think it's the first time, and we mentioned it a little bit yesterday, it's the first time in a while that I have felt good mm-hmm. about the performance of both sides of the ball.
Absolutely.
Defensively and offensively, because it has been kind of top-heavy one way or the other. They've either pitched it well and haven't hit it very well, or vice versa.
Sure.
But I think... And again, as Quasimodo said, call it a hunch. I just think that they're they're ready to make a run now.
Yeah, we talk
and it's
about
a good time of year to
get
do it.
Hot at the right time. This is the right time to be getting hot. And you know, their Friday night guy, his last four starts were a 7-inning pitch no hitter, an 8-inning complete game, a 9-inning complete game, and a 9-hit shutout. We chase him in, I think, 2 2/3. You know, so the guy was a talented guy, and we really, I mean, got around, turned around the ball, hit the ball great off of him. Hopefully he just didn't have an off night. Hopefully we did really well against some good competition, but that carried over into Saturday and Sunday as well.
And when you look at some of the past, I don't know, 10 years of Southern Miss baseball, and you look at this record, it's comparable to any record that the Eagles have had, if not a little bit better. But you cannot forget that this was against tougher competition.
That's right.
Yeah, this schedule this year, man, was brutal. So this is a team, and I know we have pulled some people from the river who have jumped off the bridge early in the season. Sure. But this is a team that can go to Omaha. They can go to Omaha.
It was the Nantahala River. What was that river the other day you determined that the guy was jumping off the bridge?
Well, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the
Tallahatchie.
Yeah, I can't remember the
Tacamone or something like that. It was the Tacamone Bridge. Yeah. They're still jumping, Daniel, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We only won 4 games in the past week.
Only 4.
We should have at least won 5 or 6.
And we only had 4 games scheduled, so I don't know how you would do that. But they want you to do that, right? They want you to win 6 games only playing 4.
Have you noticed Kelly's shirt today? Lost in Space. Does that ring a bell with you? I mean, Kelly
it
is
does,
lost in space.
Not
this,
me.
This was an
I'm
old
sure
TV
a
show.
It's a TV show in the 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Where the hell do you find these shirts?
1960s and 1970s.
Where do you find these things?
That predates me a little bit.
You're not going to answer me?
Where I found this shirt? On the internet.
On the internet?
Al Gore told me how to use it.
We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmart. They're open 24/7 online at campusbookmart. That's with a T, .net. Graduation begins next week. I think they're going to have 2 or 3 different days and ceremonies at Reed Green Coliseum. Stop by Campus Bookmart to get your favorite graduate. Something that they will remember always. You can get a shadow box that they can put their diploma in for safekeeping. I mean, that diploma only costs them about $40,000. You want to make sure that that's taken care of. Anything Southern Miss related that a logo can be printed on, you can find it at Campus Bookmart in the bright gold building right across from the main campus on Hardy Street. Joining us now from Boise, and you'll notice, Sam, I pronounced it correctly, Boise, not Boise.
He did.
Sam Ehrlich is an associate professor of business at Boise State, and he has been doing extensive research about the congressional deal that's going to come down regarding collegiate sports and what's going to happen, because you keep hearing people say, well, something's got to happen. They have to come out with some kind of rules. And Sam has really been researching this at length and can put it into layman's terms for us and take all of the legalese out of it. Sam, as we welcome you onto the Eagle Hour, the bottom line kind of here is it's not necessarily good news for mid-majors like Boise State and Southern Miss, yes?
It's mixed news. It definitely leads
a lot of room for opportunity, but it does, you know, in a lot of ways kind of widen the gap just by allowing things like revenue sharing, allowing schools to spend up to $20.5 million per year, at least to start, on directly paying players and recruiting players. And that, of course, is, you know, I think for Southern Miss and Boise State, you know, we're not going to be able to pay that much amount of, that much money for players. So that's going to definitely hurt us while the Ohio States and the Notre Dames and the Alabamas all pay exactly after that cap, if not exceeding it a little bit or a lot of it. So, yeah, it definitely kind of widens the gap a little bit, or at least it very much could. But I think, you know, as you saw this weekend with Aston Genty and sticking around here at Boise State and everything he talked about, you know, wanting to keep the ability to play, there is still some opportunity at these mid-majors to kind of promote themselves somewhere where players, even of the highest caliber, can come and play right away and can make an impact and can even get some money on the side.
That's really going to be about the only arrow in our quiver, isn't it, Sam? Is playing time?
It's one of them. It's one of a few, that's for sure.
All right, so when we take a look at this as well, I kind of thought this was going to be hypothetical, but you already cited an example to where college players making the jump to the NFL, stay with us, listeners, are going to have to take a pay cut to play at the highest league in the world.
I think, yeah, I think it's something that has already really begun to happen. And I think it's something that, you know, even before we get into the revenue sharing era, just when we're talking about collectives, when we're talking about ever since the NIL era started in mid-2021, and ever since the NIL kind of transitioned to the collectives and kind of fake NIL era in, I don't know, maybe July 2021, we've really seen players getting paid in a lot, getting paid extensively for, you know, they call it NIL, they call it, you know, kind of for this other non-pay-for-play purpose, but it really is for pay-for-play, and it really is that kind of thing. And it is a lot of money at stake. It's, you know, these boosters and the schools themselves, in some cases, are willing to put up a lot of money, and they're able to pay these players a lot. And the example I cited, the example, you know, when we talked earlier about this, was Quinn Ewers. I mean, if you saw over the weekend, he got drafted in the seventh round when, you know, if he had entered the transfer portal, if he had gone to a Notre Dame or Ohio State, both of which were apparently looking at him before he declared for the NFL draft, he probably could have gotten a lot more than what a seventh-round pick would have gotten, or what a seventh-round pick is going to get. So it is certainly a situation where, especially for even really just even kind of limiting it to non-players who are kind of drafted in the higher rounds or even the top of the first round, a lot of these players are certainly going to be taking pay cuts to go to the NFL, and it really just depends on the player. And, you know, the long and short of it is there's a lot more opportunity in college and a lot more opportunities to get paid in college now.
Sam, if that's the reality, and I have no reason to doubt you, isn't it just to a point that it's absurd to call college athletics amateur athletics anymore? It's just professional athletics at a different level. Am I right?
It is. You know, I think a lot of people, even for a while, even before the NIL level, have kind of refer to, you know, kind of question the idea that college athletics is still amateur, because even in the era where college players weren't at least getting paid over the table, even if they're just getting paid under the table and, you know, kind of the quintessential McDonald's bags or the hypothetical McDonald's bags, you know, I think with talking about how much coaches were getting paid and how much athletic directors are getting paid and how much money there is in college sports in general, a lot of the movement, a lot of the reason we are in the era where now players are getting paid, well, where we've had lawsuits kind of poking at this and lawsuits threatening this and lawsuits really kind of pushing this forward, pushing play forward, has just been because there's been so much money in college sports for a long time. It just hasn't been something that has been able to at least legally trickle down to the players.
Now, it used to be, I guess one of the things that they're looking at is having the schools pay the athletes directly, which would, I would guess, do away with the need for quote-unquote collectives. Can you kind of clear that muddy water for us, Sam?
That is the goal. And what we're talking about here is the house settlement,
right.
the class action settlement of three legal cases that are designed to really at least try to give the NCAA some protection from a lot of the legal attacks that they've been facing over the past several years. And part of the settlement, part of this idea is that we're going to allow schools to directly pay the athletes, but only up to at least currently, at least for this first year, $20.5 million per school. And kind of alongside that, there's going to be kind of this idea of anti-circumvention, or similar to the NFL, where you can't have, you know, boosters of a particular team paying athletes under the table to circumvent the salary cap. The idea that's been crafted in the settlement is to restrict third-party NIL, make sure that any kind of deals that athletes are getting outside of what they're getting from the school are for a valid business purpose and for at fair market value. So that combination is at least intended to bring some kind of, really some end to the collective era where you have kind of all these unfettered payments, uncontrolled payments, a lot of which are just not, you know, not reported to the NCAA, and the NCAA just doesn't, you know, can't really do anything to control. The question, of course, is going to be whether that third-party NIL restriction, whether that provision is going to be enforceable or even just enforced, by considering when you're talking about the fact that who's going to be doing the enforcing and all this, it's going to be an entity that's hired and and controlled by the Power Four institutions.
And final question, I think we're coming up against a break here pretty soon, but I wanted to ask you that there are some schools that are actually balking at $20.5 million, saying that that number is too low, correct?
Yes.
God.
Yeah, it's a lot. If you think about it, I think it's been, you know, reported, at least to this point, where schools like Ohio State, who just won a national championship, they were doing so with more than $20.5 million. And so one of the things with the House settlement is that 20.5 is for the entire athletic departments, for every single program. It's not just for football. It's also for men's basketball, women's basketball, softball, gymnastics, all these different sports. And I think a lot of SEC schools, the SEC did so well in men's basketball this year. They're kind of worried right now about looking at the Big East schools that don't have football programs and can now put, you know, that entire $20.5 million, or at least as much as they're willing to pay, into men's basketball alone. So, wow. Kind of creates some opportunities there, creates opportunities in other sports. It creates a situation where there might be some, at least less than, a lot less motivation to actually enforce that 20.5, and a lot more motivation to try to get around it.
When I played baseball at USM, it's been 23 years ago, we were warned about $100 handshakes. Don't take the $100 handshake.
Yeah.
Or if
yeah.
you had a summer job at a car lot washing cars, hey, don't borrow one of their cars. You would be ineligible. So to think where we've come from then to now, 23 years later, is astounding.
Sam, before we run out of time, how much longer before it's just going to be time for the Power Four to break off and do their own thing and let college athletics get back to college athletics at the smaller schools? Or would that ever happen?
I think it's coming. I think it's something that the PAL settlement starts to set up, or at least certainly incentivizes. It's really just going to be a question of where that line is drawn, whether the Big Ten and the SEC kind of want to do their own thing and, you know, get sued by a bunch of schools that are kind of that want to be on that side of the line, or whether you're going to have kind of breaking off with additional schools and really kind of trying to figure that out, because you're already starting to see that with the House settlement, kind of the opt-ins versus the opt-out, the schools that are saying, we don't want to deal with any of this. We don't want to have, you know, even if we don't have the ability to pay these athletes directly, we want to kind of keep things as they are. We don't want to deal with kind of these new restrictions under the House settlement. So those schools, I think, are signaling that they want to be on kind of the more amateur side of the line.
And I hesitate, you guys are going to kill me for asking this question, but do we dare even suggest that this would start to trickle down to high school athletes?
I think it already is. I think you're already starting to see athletes get NIL payments, get, you know, significant money, whether it happens kind of to the level of what we're seeing in college, where you're starting to see kind of this breakaway, or you're starting to see, you know, $20.5 million. I kind of doubt it. But, I mean, high school football, especially in some states, is really big deal.
Sam, interesting, if not depressing.
Yes.
Interesting news. And we thank you for sharing that with us, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting.
Sam Ehrlich, everybody, associate professor at Boise State University. Daniel, that's just terrible, isn't it?
Terrible.
Did Absolutely. You take any of them $100 handshakes?
I did not. I was a good boy. I did. I stayed legal.
We'll be right back.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Great place for lunch, great place for dinner, and great place to catch the next ball game.
And they're having a pregame happy hour, Bob, before the game tonight.
There we go, with Pabst Blue Ribbon. Mobay Beignet Company is the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. They're at 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, and we want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank Professor Sam Ehrlich from Boise State for bringing us that information, and he's researched that pretty thoroughly. He said the gap is going to get wider, guys. Let me give you a little trivia here for a moment, and I looked this up very briefly during the break, and I think I'm accurate, but athletic budget 2024 for the University of Southern Mississippi, $29.2 million. Sounds like a lot of money.
Sounds like a whole lot.
Would anybody like to guess what the athletic budget for the same period of time at the University of Alabama was?
$150 million.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, $150,
$175. Oh, excuse me.
How does this grab you guys? 29.2 at Southern Miss, right?
Mm-hmm.
$234 million at the University of Alabama.
Wow.
How much wider does the gap have to get, Daniel, before they split these leagues off?
I mean, I think it's already there. I mean, that's we're 12%, roughly, 12, 13% of the Alabama budget. And we're not a small school, you know?
But what would have to happen, though? I'm just talking about logistically. What would have to happen for all the, what we used to call the mid-majors, mm-hmm. to just say, to heck with y'all? We're not playing anymore. We're not.
Well, you know, I know we get, like, I know football, we get paid to go play at Ohio State, right, and all these places. So there's monetary benefit to playing those bigger schools for us. I don't think it's really in our control. It's probably in those Power Five conferences. They get together and say, you know what, we're going to split off and do our own thing. Then that kind of leaves the rest of us out in the dark and got to figure out what we're going to do.
Well, what possible advantage, other than picking on some weaklings, so to speak, what advantage would there be for them to keep us around? When I say us, I'm talking about all the mid-majors.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It's probably definitely, though, if you're ESPN, who are you going to pay more money to broadcast on TV? You're going to pay more money to those bigger schools. Mm-hmm. So they could get together, pull their assets together, create their own bigger league, and probably get paid a lot more money than they are now.
Yeah. I'm beginning to feel sorry for Alabama. I just looked up Ohio State. And here's why they won the national championship in football. $292 million is their athletic
budget.
That's
10% of ours.
So yeah. they bought themselves a national championship in college football.
Sure,
and people seem to be okay with that.
Well, if you're an Ohio State fan, you're definitely
I mean, just college, a lot of, and I hate to say this, I know how this is going to sound, but it's kind of a generational thing in a way. Guys like us that know what college athletics were always about.
Mm-hmm.
Find it kind of distasteful. Is that fair to say?
Appalling. Yeah. Appalling. But we've had younger co-hosts on this show, you know, when Dima was here and now Andrew Abbedy, and they all say the same thing. Well, if you win, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It still does to me. And I get it. Yeah. I get it. The younger people, it's all about winning, but it's just...
Well, you know, part of me watching... I love college athletics. Part of the lure to that and the attractiveness of that was, I know those guys I'm watching on TV are pure. They're there because they want to be there. They're going to do their best to help their team win. Now it's not that way anymore. They're there because quite likely that was where the biggest check was. So it taints that ideal I've got in my head about college athletics now.
And you
it's
can't,
not as enjoyable.
You can't latch on to that player. You know, Archie Manning would never have been the face of Ole Miss for as long as he has been if there was NIL back in that day.
No.
Yes, the NFL draft last week, they showed all the quarterbacks that got drafted, and most of those guys, the team they got drafted from was their third, maybe fourth team they were playing with that they got drafted from. So, you know, they didn't commit to some team, say, yeah, I'm going to be there for 4 years. I love wherever. They were there going where they could get playing time and get money.
And you talked about the generational thing too, Bob. You see all the old basketball coaches in particular. You know, Cliff Ellis this year at Coastal Carolina quit, and Krzyzewski saw the writing on the wall. He left. Boeheim at Syracuse. All the older guys who were just great coaches said, you can have this.
How about Nick Saban?
Nick Saban, well, that's what I was about to say. That's
football,
ruined him.
Yeah. So yeah.
He came right out and said that's mm-hmm. the reason he left.
Yeah.
And when you're at Alabama and you're at 200 and what was it, 229 million?
234.
And you're having to compete with Ohio State, who it's at 292. When Nick Saban says it's not fair, I mean, it's not fair.
292 million. And Southern Miss is 29. And Southern Miss has probably got one of the bigger athletic budgets in the Sun Belt, if I were guessing.
You would think so. You would think, but who knows? Who knows?
And the fact that some of the schools think that $20.5 million is not enough. And again, if one of our listeners texted in, who's a Georgia fan, said that they thought that Georgia spent $36 million just on the football team. So if that's the case, and I don't know that it is, but there's reason why some of the schools would say $20.5 million isn't enough.
Well, I just looked this up, and I don't know if it's right. Google, you know, is not always correct, but we played App State this past weekend. It says the App State Athletics currently has an operating budget of $48 million.
Well, that's almost twice what Southern Miss is.
I mean, that's, what, $19 million more a year than we're spending on athletics?
We po.
I think yep. Louisiana Monroe might be less than us.
Well, it goes back to baseball in a way, guys, and it's so remarkable. It says so much about the baseball program here that they have managed to hang on to all their kids because, you know, well, I've had some tell me, and I won't reveal any privacy, but I've had more than a few baseball players tell me about being approached and offered sure. money and one in particular after the Tennessee series was called twice by mm-hmm. the Tennessee coach until – the father finally had to get on the phone and say he's, you know, if he doesn't go pro, he's coming back to Southern Miss. So let's drop it.
Right.
And so I think they've done a remarkable job in hanging on to their players.
Yeah, well, I think so. And we've talked about it a lot. Southern Miss is a great place to play baseball. I mean, we are a baseball school. Those guys, you can look at them and see they're having a blast out there.
But it's, you guys know as well as I do, it's only going to get tougher.
It's only going to get tougher.
Because as this becomes more mainstream, mm-hmm. this NIL stuff, and if you think that kids thought they were entitled before,
yeah,
this is just going to be
horrible.
How
frustrating is it for a guy like you? I mean, you played Division I college baseball when you did it for the love of the game, and not particularly here now, but when you see college pitchers that were doing the same sure. thing now that you were doing, and these cats are making $500,000 a year, what do you think?
Well, you know, not to think that I would have been making the big bucks when I was playing, but I just felt like when I did it, I was at Southern Miss because I loved Coach Berry, loved Coach Palmer. I wanted to be a Golden Eagle. And I think my teammates did as well.
And you had a crappy ACT score, so you could only get into
– I wasn't going to Harvard, that's yeah. for sure. But the purity of it, I was there because I wanted to be there and loved everything about USM and the Golden Eagles baseball team. And now I just – maybe it's just me, but it's just in my head now. I watch these guys play. I'm like, they're just there because that was the better offer. There's no loyalty. Well, and they'll be gone at the drop of a hat if they get a bigger check.
I'm sure I'll get trashed for this later today, but you don't have to look any further than the football team.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of guys had zero loyalty to Marshall University. They didn't go play football there because they love Marshall University.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be here.
Well, you know, they were loyal to Coach Huff, though.
That's what I'm saying.
So
yeah.
that loyalty, yeah. that's who you're playing for and the leadership of that coach.
Has that always
been
the case?
I can somewhat understand.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but
no.
Has it always been the case that the kids are more loyal to the coach that recruited them than the school? And maybe that's a better way to phrase
that. I put myself in their shoes. Let's say I'm a junior at USM, and then Coach Berry gets an offer to go somewhere and says, Daniel, I want you to come with me. Guess what? I'm probably going.
So let me clarify, in fairness to the kids that transferred here,
yeah.
They're loyal to the man
sure.
that transferred here. Yes,
sure.
That makes
right.
sense.
Right. And two, I don't think they're leaving Marshall to come into Southern Miss for big checks. You know, I think they're loyal to the coach. They're going to play hard for him.
And obviously wouldn't have transferred to Southern Miss had he stayed at Marshall.
That's right. They would have stayed at Marshall.
Right. That's right.
And dare I say it, that's one of the positive things about the transfer portal. Because in the old days, if the coach left, mm-hmm. the player was stuck.
That's true.
They couldn't go with the coach. But now the transfer portal does allow players to.
And there's a lot of promises made during the recruiting process that that are attached to that coach. He leaves and you're stuck. Yeah. Well, you're done. So that ability to move with the coach now, I think is important.
Well, in part, that's what opened the door to all this, in all honesty, was some of the obnoxious salaries that coaches were making in college athletics. And the question came up, how can this guy make $5 million a year and the kid here playing for him, you know, is ineligible if he gets a part-time job, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, all of it goes hand in hand. But now, as a business, you're operating an athletic department as a business. All right, what are the rules? All right, well, now the rules are, if you're a mid-major, you can't give the big money that the big guys, but you do have playing time to offer. So then the player has to decide, is it about the money or is it about money and playing time? And that's something, but that's about all we've got left to offer is playing time.
Mm, yeah.
Stay tuned.
It's a new day. Isn't it?
Very new day.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
MCS Home Center is a great place to go for all your home needs, whether you're a weekend warrior remodeling a bathroom like Kelly is constantly doing. He's always doing carpentry work. Or you're working in another thing. Kelly's always working in that yard. Oh, no, those are the hired hands that you have. I'm sorry.
Ernesto works in my
Ernesto,
yard.
Ernesto, I forgot about him. That old Ernesto's laying kind of low these days, huh?
He's protected.
MCS Home Center in Bellevue. I rode by your house the other day and hollered ice out the window, and Ernesto jumped under
the
bushes.
Bob, that is cruel to do that. He's just trying to take a little siesta out there.
And he was asleep under the bush when I hollered. I mean, he really didn't.
Taking his siesta.
It didn't affect him too much. MCS Home Center, did you want to comment on that, the comment there, Daniel?
Which one?
About Ernesto and ice.
No, I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
I probably should have. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are fine. Their showroom is on Highway 98 West, and it's great, too. We appreciate all of our sponsors, and we have too much fun here sometimes. I want to get back to something serious, and that's this T-shirt.
What, my Lost in Space T-shirt?
Lost in Space T-shirt. Now, for those like young Daniel here who didn't really know what you were talking about, explain Lost in Space, please.
Lost in Space was a TV show back in the late 60s on ABC, I believe. And Irwin Allen was the executive producer, went on to produce movies like The Poseidon Adventure and The Towering Inferno. This was kind of early sci-fi with the robot and Will Robinson and Penny Robinson and Dr. Zachary Smith. And it was one of my favorite shows. And so
that was before CGI and all the fancy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Kelly's old.
CGI?
Yeah.
Sounds like something you got to get a shot for. Kind of bad case of CGI.
That's possible.
Hey, I'm looking over the rest of the week, Bob. We're going on the road. We got great guests all week long here on the show.
Do we?
Yeah. We're going to be at Fuzzy's on Friday, right? Which is right next to...
We're going to be at Fuzzy's on Friday. Yeah, You're welcome to come have lunch with us.
We might come over.
You come have lunch with us. We got... Who do we have, Kelly? Today's Tuesday. We'll have Travis Creel on the show tomorrow. We'll review the game from tonight.
Right. On Thursday, we've got Ike Thrash, who's a Hattiesburg businessman who has put horses in the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. And there is a horse this year in the Derby named Sandman.
Okay.
Now tell me I'm not going to have a few...
And we should point out this gentleman is from here in Hattiesburg.
Yes. Yeah. He lives here in Hattiesburg. So we're going to get a unique perspective of the whole Kentucky Derby thing from a guy who knows a little bit about it. That's on Thursday. We're hoping Jay Ladner has signed some new players.
You're trying to locate him, yes. We'll have Justin Harris on the show with us from Fuzzy's on Friday. It's always great there.
So in a big baseball series, the voice of Arkansas State is going to be joining us hopefully live on Friday as well as the Red Wolves, formerly the Indians.
Yep.
Come to town this weekend for a big...
Thank goodness they changed that name. It was so insulting to me.
Half of the teams did and half the teams didn't. The Chicago Blackhawks hockey team, they never changed it.
How about the Braves?
Kansas City Chiefs, Atlanta Braves. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it just depends on what neighborhood you live in.
All right, Daniel, let's get back to actually what the show's about, which is not Lost in Space or Ernesto. never mind. Daniel, why do we feel better for some reason about baseball this week than we did last week?
I guess it's the familiarity bias, I think is what you call it. You're only as good as your last weekend or your last few games, and we had a really good weekend. Had a really good week, for that matter. Monastir broke the hearts of all the Southeast Louisiana fans again.
The Lion Tamer.
Why do you pitch to that guy?
I think first base was open at the time. There was some situation.
In the first game at Southeastern, it was open.
Yeah.
You never pitched to that guy with first base open.
Well, they left the pitcher in to pitch to him. I was like, they're about to put a new pitcher in. No, they left him in, and, it's out of there. So
why did you pitch to him last Tuesday night when the game's tied? That's the bottom of the ninth.
It's the low percentage outcome. The chances of him hitting that grand slam were really, really low. So you take those odds, and you pitch, and now it's sure enough.
Yeah, but
now,
I mean, the next time you play him, it's the same scenario.
Same scenario.
Guy, and you pitch to him again, the same thing happens.
I guess they think lightning won't hit twice.
And we'd have to ask Bobby Barbier that question, the Southeastern coach, as to why they did that. But my thinking is, you beat us once, you're not going to beat us again.
Right.
I don't care if the next guy hits a home run, whoever was behind him in the lineup.
You're not going to beat us.
You're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
I know you know that gentleman, Coach Barbier.
Yeah.
And I may have told you this. I don't know. I made a point of going down talking to him before the game last week. And what a what an impressive guy he is.
Yeah, my son played for him at Northwestern State.
Very impressive.
Up in Natchitoches. And my son was on the injured reserve when they went to the regional out in Corvallis.
Yeah.
And so my son only got to pitch about the first third of that season, but still got a regional
nice
ring, and Barbier went out of his way to hand deliver it to
him. That's good.
Classy guy. Good program too.
Absolutely.
Good program tonight. UNO, nobody to sneeze at, right?
Nobody to sneeze at. They're going to be good. I'm kind of upset. This is our last midweek game. Those midweek games are always a lot of fun. You never know who you're going to see on the mound pitching. Get those guys some experience. So we're getting to the last little bit here.
Johnny Holstaff tonight, if I'm guessing.
Johnny Holstaff.
And I still think we have a shot to host a regional.
I hope you're right. Come have lunch with us Friday at Fuzzy's.
I surely will.
Eagle Hour at Fuzzy's Tacos. Travis Creel on the show tomorrow. We're going to have fun the rest of the week. We hope you'll join us. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.